Turn to the book of John, chapter 20. John, chapter 20. Is this thing on? John chapter 20. Let me read to you first this, and then I'll begin to speak. John chapter 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and says unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Let's pray first. Father, we thank you so much for this evening. We thank you, Lord, for your precious word that you left us to guide us and lead us in this life. We pray, my Lord, that you would open up all ears and open up also all the hearts to understand thy word. I pray you speak to everyone that's here. Lord, we pray that they would not only hear, but they would also obey thy word. We pray, my Father, that above all things, that you be lifted up and magnified, that you receive all the honor and glory because only thou art worthy. And we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. First, let me just tell you about the Southside Church. We've been there for, or Michael started it several years ago, and then I went to help him. Few years ago, I don't keep up with the years. I like to forget. But we're still preaching the gospel. We're still teaching the word, and we're still preaching it inside. And we also go outside, and it's preached in the streets. And we also go door to door. And we're not going to stop. Sometimes we have a full house. Sometimes it's half empty. And but we don't get discouraged. Many times it's because people go on vacations or their jobs and so many other things. We just need to keep on going. And that's what we've been doing. But I'm going to concentrate actually on this area here where he says, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. This is a mission conference. It's about sending people. But let me explain, first of all, before we get to that part, I just want to start with the beginning. The disciples or the apostles were all hiding, and they were afraid. And, of course, you can understand it. They had just seen the Lord crucified. They had come from Calvary. It happened already several days before that. So you can't blame them. And then, of course, as they're just sitting there, all of a sudden, Jesus appears. And the next thing you know is he says, Peace be unto you. If you'll read it carefully, you'll notice that there was no response. And I don't blame them for not speaking. If you and I had been there, we would have been just the same. When you're so scared, you can't even speak. There's no doubt in my mind that he would have scared all the beans out of me. But the thing is that they had just seen Calvary. They had just seen the Lord, his body completely destroyed. The Bible tells you in Isaiah 53 that his face, his visage, you couldn't even tell. He had been destroyed more than any other man had ever gone through. And, of course, they're in fear. And then maybe they didn't recognize. So you notice that the first thing that the Lord does if he chose his hands. And this is to identify himself. And as you know, in the scriptures, he tells you that the Jew require a sign. Now, we don't require a sign. We do everything by faith. The Lord doesn't show us anything. We just believe his word and we trust in him. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We without faith, you can't please the Lord. So we trust in him, but the Jew required a sign. And God had been giving him signs all the way from the beginning. And here again, here these were all Jews. And they're left speechless until he opens up his hands and says, look, I've got the marks right here. And you can see on the side where I've been pierced. And it seems like that's the what the Lord will be carrying these wounds, maybe through eternity, I don't know. But you when you read the scriptures, you find in the book of Revelation, in chapter 5, when it says that they were looking for somebody that would be worthy to open up the book of seven seals, and they couldn't find nobody in heaven, on earth, or under the earth. And finally, here walks the Lamb that had been slain. So we see that even in heaven, you find that the Lord is all, that's him. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. He's the one that was slain. And it shows that in the midst of the throne, here is a Lamb that appears as if he had been slain. So you see that even in heaven, and the elders saw it, and the four beasts saw it, and immediately they began to sing a new song. They begin to say, holy, holy is the Lord who redeemed us from with his blood from all nations, tongues, and people. And they bow down to him. And then you notice also that when he comes back, he will dip his vesture in blood. I believe that's his blood that he laid on the altar. He will put on that vesture with blood. And then you find also in the book of Zechariah chapter 12, you find Jehovah speaking. And he says, and in that day, talking about the day when God returns, he said, in that day I will come and they will see me. And they will see, how does it say? He says, and in that day they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. In other words, they're going to see God Jehovah. Who is that? That's Jesus. They will see me whom they have pierced. So it seems like the Lord is going to continue to show his wounds. But right now, he had just resurrected. He has appeared to his disciples. And they're scared. And he begins to show them so that he can prove to them. And immediately, they were glad. Once he showed them the wounds, he showed them his side. And of course, you know, Thomas wasn't there. Later on, he said the same thing. He said, well, I'm not believing until I can see it. And I can touch it. He's a Jew. The Jew requires a sign. But let me tell you, in the meantime, Jesus also tells them, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. And this is very important. We need to understand that just like God sent Jesus, he says, I send also you. And in case you can't understand that, that means you all here in Texas. As the Father has sent me, so I send you all. So he sees all of us. We're supposed to be to go out just the same way, with the same power, the same the mission that Jesus came. Amen. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Now he's passing it on to them, and he's passing it to us also. And of course, you see at the end when before he goes up to heaven, he explains it very clearly. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, teaching them in all the things that I have taught you, baptizing them in my name, preaching repentance. So all these things we find in the scriptures, but here he's simply telling them, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. And you'll notice also in this conversation that not a single one says, well, send me. Not a single one copied what Isaiah had said. Isaiah, when he saw the glory of God in Isaiah 6, immediately he said, here am I, send me. But you don't find the apostles saying that. And the reason is because they hadn't received the Holy Spirit. And many times, beloved, we get saved. Most of us, it takes us a while to really get going. I know when I got saved about 34 years ago, I was at another church. And then after 2 years, I came to this church. And I had been reading the Bible like crazy, over and over and over. I knew quite a bit. But it took me 2 years in this church before I even stood up. My wife would always bug me. She'd always tell me, how come you don't get up and bring a message? I said, I'm not ready. He said, but you know it. I said, I'm not ready. Don't push me. The thing is that it has to be the Lord. I'm always slow for everything. But that's the way most people are. The Lord tells you, as the Father sent me, so send I you. Most of us, instead of copying Isaiah, we copy Jonah. The Lord calls us to go one way, and we go the other. He says, go to that wicked city, and go and cry to them, because their wickedness has already come up to my face. What do? We do like him. We take off and go. But you know what's more important? And the Bible does tell us, the Lord tells us a story about the two sons that were told to do something, and one of them said, I will. He never did. And the other one said, I'm not. And then he did. And the one who did the Father's will is the one who went. And many times it takes us a while. Sometimes the Lord has to spank us, just like he did with Jonah. And finally, we change our minds and says, okay, Lord, I'll go do it. And that's been my case. That's been with most of us. It takes us a while. Just like when I first started going door to door. It was, I didn't want to preach in the streets. Then I came here to Oak Knoll, and I noticed that some would go, and I still didn't want to go. I would see the missionaries come in from Mexico. I still didn't want to go. Till finally I took a vacation. I took my family to Mexico. And that's where I started preaching in the streets. And the reason being, I figured, if I mess up, who cares? They're not going to complain. They don't know nobody. They don't know me. They don't know my family or relatives. They're not going to come to my neighborhood. I guess it's just stinking pride. And of course, when I was preaching, I had only one person outside. Most of them were just dogs. I was still nervous. But the thing is, we all have to start one way or another. And then later on, I came back to San Antonio, and then I said, that's what I want to do. And I started a ministry. I started going on the streets, going to the housing projects, going to the poor. Because that's what I see in the scriptures. Go to the poor. Don't forget the poor. Jesus says, I've been anointed to preach the gospel. And then he goes on to say, and the poor get the gospel preached. When Paul was sent out, The Bible tells me, or he wrote in Galatians, that James, Peter, and John, when they realized the grace that had been given to Paul, they gave him the right hand of fellowship, and they told him only one thing. Remember the poor. Jesus, when John the Baptist called from or sent a message from jail, he says, go and ask Jesus to see if he's the one, or should we look for another? And the Lord responded, tell John that the blind are getting their sight, the lepers are getting healed. And he went on down the line, and then he says, and the poor are getting the gospel preached. It seemed to be a theme throughout the Bible. Don't forget the poor. And this is what I see. I notice that when the Lord says, go, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. In other words, He wants us to be like Him. He wants us to carry on the work. He wants us to do the work of an evangelist. He wants us to be an ambassador for Christ. He wants us to represent Him. At the same time, I noticed that Jesus was never a priest. That means we're not called to be a priest on this world. There's a lot of religions that they think serving God is being a priest. This is strong evidence that we're not supposed to do that. But we're supposed to be like Jesus. And then He breathes the Holy Spirit on him. And to me, that's very important. Because without the Holy Spirit, there's nothing you can do. And if you're here tonight, the first thing you need to do is receive the Holy Spirit. You receive it by humbling yourself, asking Jesus to forgive you, to give you His Spirit. And if you do it with a broken spirit and a contrite heart, then He will save you. He won't reject you. That's what I had to do 34 years ago. I was as proud as anybody else. But the Lord broke me, and I had to call upon His name. And I did it with a lot of tears. He changed my life. But you know, the thing is that the word that really sticks out to me more than anything else, and it has for many years, is the word poor. Because I see it over and over. In the book of Luke, chapter 4, when Jesus began to preach, he went to a synagogue. They handed him the Bible. He opened up. I believe it was in Isaiah 61, but you'll find it in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And he began to say that he had been anointed. And then he went on down the list of all the things he had been sent to do. And he came, and he says at the end of it, he says, and to preach the gospel to the poor. And that always caught my attention because I kept seeing it over and over. You find the word poor about 34 times. When he first began to preach, he said, blessed are the poor. But it's the poor in spirit. He's not really referring to whether you have money in your pocket or not. Because in the book of Luke, he talks about the brokenhearted. Talks about those that have a contrite spirit, broken lives. That means your addicts, your prostitutes. That means the captives, the blind, and so many the bruised. You can go on down the line. But he says, I came to preach to them, to the poor. Those that are broken down. And this is one thing that I have noticed. And that's why when I first started going to the housing projects. I was a policeman. I knew where the poor neighborhoods were. That's where I worked. And we preached in all the housing projects for 7 years. And many times we'd be preaching and we'd take sometimes as many as 20 or 30 people from this church would go with us. And they'd be around just in case anybody would come out. And there was one time that we were preaching and I had 50 people had come out of their homes and sat down in their chairs outside to listen to the gospel. It was so amazing to me. But that's the way it was in all over San Antonio. When I got saved because another policeman came and gave me a gospel tract every day for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, I called on the name of the Lord to get saved. And the thing is, I began to witness also. We were witnessing everywhere to the point that the chief started getting complaints. And he called the biggest loudmouth. I was one of them. He called us into his office to get after us. We wind up witnessing to him. And then he realized after we told him some stories, he said, you know what? I know that you all do more work, more crime, or stop more crime than anybody else because of the gospel. He understood some things. The thing is, we were hanging around the poor areas. I found that these were the people that were ready to hear God's word. Later on, it was one night about 11 o'clock at night. I had just come to work. And I'm heading out to the west side, because that's where I worked. And most of the time, I would take Highway 90 from downtown to get there fast. But it was during the week, so it was a slow night. I decided to take the scenic route. I went down Guadalupe Street. Guadalupe Street, if you never heard of it, is the most dangerous street in San Antonio. I know every block. I've handled calls and shootings and all kinds of crimes on that street. It's 11 o'clock at night. And I'm driving and all you see is prostitutes, dope addicts. And then about the 1900 block, I see a prostitute. Now, she didn't have a sign saying I'm a prostitute, but it don't take much to know. It's 11 o'clock at night, wearing a short skirt, walking alone. And I went around the block real quickly. And then I stopped her as she was crossing the street. I got right in front of her. I had my window down. Now, I'm on my way to the west side. Deep west side. I don't have time to waste. So I decided to talk to her just like John the Baptist talked to the Pharisees. When he was busy baptizing, they come around and he says, "Oh, generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Now, that's not the way we should witness. But he had no time to waste. And this prostitute, I didn't have time to waste time with her. And the first thing that came out of my mouth, I didn't plan it. But the first thing that I said, "You ever heard of hell?" And she said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Because that's where you're going if you don't repent." Now, I don't recommend you witness that way. And immediately she began to cry. And I said, "Oh no, I picked on a wimpy prostitute." And I said, "Why are you crying?" She said, "Sir, you ever heard of Freddy Garcia?" I said, "Yes. He used to be a dope addict. He got saved, has his own church. And he already had a meeting with President Bush because of all the work that he has done. He's got his church full of guys who used to be dope addicts, who got saved and preached the gospel. He says, well, that same guy, he said, I met him this morning. He says, and he used to be my partner in crime. We both used to shoot dope all the time. And he met me this morning. He told me the same thing you did. That's why I'm crying. He told me I'm going to hell just like you. And she wouldn't stop crying. And then she says, sir, give me a ride home. I didn't want to leave her there crying. And I said, okay. I find out where she lived. She didn't live far. I said, get in the car. And then I violated all the rules and regulations. We're not supposed to give anybody a ride unless they're on the way to jail. They always told us the police car is not a taxi cab. But if they would have stopped me and they would have caught me, I would have said, well, she's in the worst place in town. It's late at night. She's crying. And she's lost. Because I wouldn't have said she's lost spiritually. But that would have been my excuse. I'm taking her home. She's lost. But anyway, I took her home and I witnessed to her the whole time. And she cried all the way home. And it seemed to me that she was really understanding it. And I dropped her at her house. And a month later, me and my wife had been going door knocking. And most of the time when we go door knocking, we'd be out till 10, 11 o'clock at night because people would open their doors. Now, I haven't been inside somebody's house in years anymore. Things have changed. People don't want to hear the word no more. But it used to be that way. It was common for us to go door knocking and then they'd open the door, come on in and talk to us about it. And we'd be there till 10, 11 o'clock at night. And that night, we finished door knocking, and I said, let's go pay this lady a visit. My wife already knew about it. I went and knocked on her door. Her mama came out. I said, I'm looking for so-and-so. I'm a policeman. And I gave her a ride about a month ago. She says, oh, yes, I know, sir. He said, well, let me tell you, her life changed. She don't go in the streets no more. Matter of fact, she just got married. I said, good grief. You know, if there's a chance for a prostitute, a dope head, who had a long criminal record because I checked it, and the Lord can change her, He can change anybody else. No wonder the Lord says in Matthew chapter, I think it's 21, where he's talking to, it's 21 verse 32. He told the Pharisees, he said, the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. What a shame. You know the reason it was very easy for her? She knew she was a sinner. I didn't have to convince her that you're bad. I never told her that your righteousness is not going to save you. Nothing but dirty rags. She already knew that. The thing is, that's what holds a lot of people from accepting Jesus. They're always thinking that they're too good. But let me tell you, it was 11 o'clock. And I believe that we're also on the 11th hour in this world. Things are getting very dangerous. I don't have to tell you about that. You see it, you hear it. When I used to be a policeman, I never carried a gun after I got off duty. Now, I don't leave home without it. Not because I'm scared, because I see what happens all everywhere. It's very different now. Things have changed. I used to go door knocking even at night. Now, I quit. They're liable to shoot me thinking that I'm a burglar. Things have changed. And the Bible does tell us that in the latter days, Perilous times shall come. People are going to depart from the faith. They don't want to hear anything. That's why they don't open the door to me anymore. We used to witness all the time, and we used to stay all the time. We had always had people opening the door. Come on in, sir. Explain it to me. It's not like that anymore. But you know, the Bible also talks about midnight. It tells us that there's going to be a cry at midnight. And then there's going to be a voice that's going to say, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." I believe we're in the 11th hour. It won't be long when we'll hear that cry. Now, it might not be midnight here, but it'll be midnight somewhere. And the thing is that when the Lord comes, if you stay behind, it's bad news. Amen. You heard the gospel. This is what we preach, that Jesus Christ is Lord. He went to the cross and he died, paid for our sins. That's why over and over you see him showing the marks. I'm the Savior. I got the marks. When he comes back, they're going to recognize him. They're going to see his marks. But what a shame for those that didn't want to obey the gospel. But right now, salvation is free. You don't have to do anything other than repent and put your faith and trust in him. And this is what we do. Even though they don't open the doors, even though they tell us we'll be there in church, and they don't come, we still are doing our part. And I hear the missionaries say the same thing. It's not like it used to be. I remember in Mexico, we were there for a few years. And there was always a lot of people always listening. And now I hear they get very few converts. They get discouraged in Poland. But you know, it's like that everywhere. But it's no cause for us to quit. I don't see anywhere in the scriptures where you quit. I want to keep on going. Yes. Amen. We all need to keep on going. Right. And whether the Lord calls you to go, then you be obedient, you go. Amen. But some are called to stay. We see many in the scriptures that they wanted to be with the Lord, and he told them, "No, go home, go tell your neighbors what wonderful work the Lord has done for you." Amen. This is what we have to do. So whether you go or whether you stay, you still have been called, just like Jesus was called. And he says, "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." In other words, when you go out in the streets, when you go witness to your neighbors, your friends, you're God's love letter to this world. You're a representative of Jesus. We have to be faithful. And that's what I find in the scriptures. That's what pleases the Lord, that we be faithful unto the end. You be faithful, brothers, in whatever the Lord has called you to do. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen.